Want to go higher? Want to go deeper? Do you really? What if that involves war? No, I just want to come and I want to sit in an air-conditioned building and I want to sing. And that's good. But I want to go higher and I want to go deeper. But God forbid I should see war. You know, yesterday was Independence Day. Yeah. You know what? You know what? What caused that independence? War. And we're going to look at Ephesians. You can be turning to Ephesians 5 again. Because if you think we're going to walk in the fullness of Ephesians without going to war, that's why he concludes the chapter. My brethren, you better put on the whole armor of God. Because if you're going to walk in the things that I've described for you in this book, trust me, it's not going to come just by attending some church services and singing, and that's good. I'm for all of that. Boy, the day is going to come if you're going to go farther and you're going to walk higher. Then you're going to war against principalities and powers, and the rulers of the darkness of this world, and wicked spirits in the heavenlies, because they're going to do everything they can to stop you. And for about 2,000 years, they've been almost 100%. And what I'm talking about is keeping the church powerless when it comes to the things that Jesus said we're really to walk in, like doing the works that he did. Not only preaching the gospel to get men saved, thank God for that. But how about opening the blind eyes, or the lame to walk? How about the maimed to be made whole? See, that's the warfare we're pressing into. And I love that song, I Want to Go Higher, I Want to Go Deeper. But we need to understand that's going to be where the warfare. Because it is a truth that for freedom's sake, for liberty, Christ has set us free. He set us free. Well, as I was praying and meditating about this morning's service, just knowing where to launch here and where we're going to start, I thought, my goodness, if we're going to start there, Lord, I hope the people that are listening to this have heard the preceding messages for the last 6 months. Because it's going to sound so foreign to most people who would sit in most churches anywhere around the world. Let's start in Ephesians 5. I better quit talking and start reading. Now, just this one little passage we're going to look at right here is enough to get you kicked out of most churches. At least the kind I grew up in. You know, the kind I grew up in. Let's just say that. And many others today. So let's look at Ephesians 5:8. We'll just start right there. It says, "For you were sometimes," that means in previously, "darkness." And it's interesting how it's worded. It doesn't say you were walking in darkness, does it? No, it says you were darkness. And why is it saying that? Well, because every human being born of a mother and father on planet Earth, through the law of Genesis, the sin nature was passed down to them all the way. You can trace it all the way back to Adam and Eve. You're born in darkness, born a slave to sin. Now, those that are honest, we all love our children and our grandchildren, but if you'll be honest, you know, you can watch a two-year-old. Have two two-year-olds in the room. Two two-year-olds and one toy truck. You're about to witness World War III on an infant level, you know. Well, what's going on there? Well, the nature that's born in them. Covetousness, greed. I want what I want. And we love them. If you don't think I love my grandchildren, I do. But, I never yet met a parent that said I taught my child to lie. Yet most children go through that lying spell. Why is that? Well, it's the nature starting to manifest already at a very young age. So when he says you were darkness, he means the whole human race was already lost. It's already dark, all of them. I don't care. You know, whether churchgoer, non-churchgoer, without Christ, there is no light. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. But it says here, just plainly, and most churches don't have a problem with this part. You know, you're just an old sinner. Boy, you got that right. I'll be the first one to amen that. You're just an old sinner, got saved by grace. I'll amen that part too. But where I have an issue is after I got born again, when they tell me I'm still that same old sinner, just forgiven now, that is not what the Bible teaches. See, the world, even the church world, has really barely heard the gospel, and most of them have never really heard it. Well, we're only in the first half of the verse, and I'm already in trouble. They're already ready to stone me already. Look at this. For you were, sometimes in the times past, darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Now, he's saying, now walk as children of the light. See, there's a difference between what you are and your walk. In the same, and okay, it's easy to understand. Let's go back. The whole world was in darkness. The whole world is born with that sin nature. Yet you know and I know there's people that walk in varying degrees of that sin nature. Now, they all have the capacity to be a Hitler. Every single one has that darkness in them. Yet some, depending upon their parents and how they were raised, some don't manifest a whole lot of that darkness. Some manifest a lot of that darkness. They can walk in all varying degrees of it, right? Even though in their core they're dark. It's the same thing in the Christian world. When you get born again, the Bible plainly says, you are light. Now, how much of that light we walk in, that is exactly the mission of the prayer center. We want to go farther. We want to go higher. We want to go deeper into Him. Far enough into God that we wind up bringing a supernatural revival to a religious city, where the works that He did are once more demonstrated when His name is preached, and where the world will finally have something to see with their own eyes, like they did in Matthew 15. And they marveled, they wondered when they saw the lame to walk, the blind to see, the maimed to be made whole. They saw it during the services. Well, just because we are light doesn't mean we're walking in a whole lot of it. The first thing you've got to know is that you are light. Now, when I was... Yes, sir. Okay. Whoa. Oh, man. You just saw a big eraser happen to all my notes right there is what you saw happen right there. Whoa. They may let me read a couple of verses, but I think that's about it. I didn't have many notes anyway. That's about it right there. Just mainly verses. Here's the woe. Here's the reason. Now see, here's the deal. We started this off by saying Ephesians is the New Testament parallel to the book of Joshua. Well, what's the book of Joshua about? That's where the people of God all hunkered down in the desert and they just tried to survive and hoping that the devil didn't kill them all. Is that what the book of Joshua is about? No, the book of Joshua is where the people of God finally arrived on the scene. And land that the devil had occupied for centuries, God says, now I'm taking that away from them. I'm taking it away from the devil and I have given it unto you. So what's the book of Joshua about? That's where the people of God have come on the scene and they are initiating the warfare. They are possessing the inheritance that God had given to them. Now that's what we're talking about in the book of Ephesians. God has given us, children of light, a vast inheritance. The church is hardly occupying a tiny little percentage of it, hardly anything at all. And He's calling us to go to war, not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in order to possess the inheritance that God has really given us. You want to see that inheritance? Look at Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That is our inheritance. He is our life. He is our promised land. He is the good life. He is the abundant life. His life is the land we're supposed to possess. But as we've been looking at this, we came to the crux of the matter. And that's Ephesians. Go ahead and look at it again. Back up to Ephesians 4. I see faces here that haven't been here this whole time, so I highly recommend. Oh, we don't have much to study, just the last 6 months worth of teachings here. He's been breaking down the book of Ephesians. Now what's starting to happen is my mind, I can't help it now. I've assimilated the book of Ephesians. Well, now it's starting to, these threads are starting to run forwards and backwards throughout the New Testament. Romans, Galatians, Colossians, all these other books now. Something is happening in me, and I thank God for that. Something is happening where I'm, part of me goes, what has the church been preaching? What kind of gospel have we been presenting to the world? For the most part, we've been presenting Old Testament salvation. We've presented them a lamb that was offered for their forgiveness, and that is exactly true. But we've stopped at the cross. We've not presented to them the resurrection. Peter says we've been born again unto a lively hope, not by the cross, but by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the firstborn from the dead. And if you believe on Him and are born again, you are in that born again class somewhere. You are not darkness anymore. You are light. Now we're trying to learn how to walk as children of the light. The gospel we've given to the world is partly true. We've given them a gospel. If you can be forgiven, let's say it this way. He came to set you free from the guilt of sin. That is true. Forgiveness of sins. How many are glad about that? But see, in John 8:32, when he says, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. He's not just talking about the guilt of sin, because he goes right on in the next few verses and says, now he that committeth sin is the servant of sin. He didn't come to just set us free from the guilt of sin. He come to set us free from committing sin. That'll get you thrown out of every church I grew up in every time. Because they'll preach the cross and they love Jesus and they're going to heaven, and I know that. But when they pray for the sick, it's, Father, if it be thy will. This is where I have to be nice now. See? If it be thy will. And the truth of the matter, boy, I thank God for the cross. I thank God for the forgiveness. But God did not want to just forgive us and leave us the same old sinners we were. I says, I want you back the way I originally made you, and that's in the image of God. You want to see that image? Jesus is the express image of God. Look at Him. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the champion we're supposed to be in warfare after, possessing the land. How in the world do you possess it? Thank God I've finally got it here. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verses 22, 23 and 24, I believe it is. Yes. This is the warfare, people. This is it right now. And he's going to show it to you in a little different way this morning, because he showed it to me a little different. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Now, isn't that interesting? He's writing this. He just got through telling them, or here he's going to tell them in the next chapter, chapter 5. You are children of light. You were darkness. You are children of light. You were darkness. You are, present tense, right now, children of light. Yet to those same people, he says, it's up to you to put off the old man. Even though you have a new nature, you're going to have to put off the old man. Skip a verse and go to verse 24. The goal is not just put him off. See, the church I grew up in says you can't put him off. You're just an old sinner saved by grace. If you believe that, that's what you'll be. That's what you'll be. You'll do your best your whole life. You'll be just like the Old Testament saints, trying to keep the law. But because your mind believes a lie, you're going to continue to walk in that old man. Because the church told you you had to. See, when it says principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world, it's not just talking about the world we live in with all of the... And you can't open a magazine anymore without it being... I mean, any kind of magazine almost. Any kind of advertisement, there's going to be lust there. There's going to be... Every commercial, you know, is to make you... Maybe you were real satisfied till you saw the new cell phone, till you saw the new car, till you saw the new dishwasher. See, everything about it is, in, you know, the whole world is fallen. That's part of the principalities and powers, and that indoctrination comes from without. But sadly, it's principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in the church. Standing in the pulpit, and I'm not saying they're not saved, I'm not saying they're not, but they're propagating the same deception that's in their own mind. And they'll stand there and tell you, you're just an old sinner saved by grace. You're still that same old person, and no bigger lie was ever told, and I don't care if they are on their way to heaven. See, I told you I'd get in trouble. And I'm happy about that. Blessed are you when they persecute you. Don't care at all. See, and usually where you get in trouble, this is why I'm real careful to try and not walk in hypocrisy. I'll tell you all again, I'm on this journey with you. Because usually what happens when somebody finally has enough courage to start speaking these things, it comes across like judgment almost, like they're walking in it. I'm telling you right now, I'm just walking in part of this. My job is to come as a teacher and teach. You have an example. His name is Jesus. He's the one I'm trying to follow too. So, you know, I'm trying to possess the land like you're trying to possess the land. But my gift in the body is to take difficult things and make them simple, where at least you have a chance. You can go to war and possess more land if you want to. I'm going to war trying to possess more land myself. But I'm not the standard. Jesus is the standard. Amen? You got that? Quit being so hard on yourself. Get in the war. So the goal here at verse 22 is put off that old man. Well, that's the... Put him off. Just put him off. And the goal will put on the new man. And I got to tell you again, for the new people that's here, he is not saying... Now notice, he does not say, make your old man do better. That's the modern day idea of repentance. Make your old man do better. He's saying, if that was possible, for hundreds of years I had a people that tried to do that. They tried to keep the law. Not one of them, not one was successful. I'm not calling you to make your old man do better. I'm calling you to put that guy in the ground and leave him there. I have not even left you as that old man. I have made you a new creature in Christ Jesus. There is a new man. I gave him to you free by grace. He's already in you if you're a believer. Now I'm trying to teach you how to put him on so you can walk in that new man instead of that old man. Sounds like the verse he started this off with. Awake, thou that sleepest. Talking to the church. Awake. Wake up. Wake up to what? Arise from the dead. You're walking like dead men. The whole church is walking like forgiven dead men. No, he says, awake, arise from the dead. And then Christ will give you light, see? Boy, that's what he's been doing. He's trying to shake us and wake us up. He said, walk like the new creature I made you. Well, okay, the question is always, if we ended the service right now, you'd have a right to really be angry. Because, you know, if I tell you, you need to walk more in light, didn't you know that before you got here? If I tell you, you should walk more like Jesus, didn't you know that before you got here? Isn't the question, for God's sake, somebody tell me how? Well, the how is in the bridge verse in between those two. Now look at it. That's the how. Verse 23. See, verse 22 is put off that old man. Verse 24 is put on the new man. What's the bridge between the two? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, if you didn't hear the last message, I titled that one, The Spirit of Your Mind. That's a good one. What is your mind? Is it your brain? No. No, it's something contained in your brain. It is your thoughts. It is your memories. It is your thinking processes. It includes your feelings. It includes your emotions. It includes your imagination. Now, God forbid, here we go again. You know, we could physically, I'm not going to, but we could physically hold somebody's brain in our hand. hopefully at that moment they've passed on to glory. Or if they haven't, they will now. But see, you're not really the physical brain, the physical 3.5-pound brain is not the mind. Who that person is was contained in there, all right. But it's really almost ethereal. You can't hold the mind in your hand in the same way that you can a brain. When it says the spirit of your mind, see that it's, you've got a spirit on the inside of you that's really not your mind either. Otherwise, it wouldn't tell you to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, that new nature God gave you free by grace. Did you notice another verse? It says, which is from the get-go created. From the moment you got born again, God put something free and you gave it free by grace. It is His nature. It is the nature of His Son. And it says, at the instant that being came into creation in you, He is created, I like to say, from the get-go in righteousness and true holiness, not church holiness. Not when somebody else is watching you, holiness. True holiness. He's in there. But it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And what that means to me now, that mind, my thinking processes, my imagination, all the things that would really be Gary. That part of me that's been trained most of my life by a fallen nature and by a fallen world. The way I think, the way I feel, how I interpret my feelings. All of that has to be retrained now by this new nature, this new spirit that God gave me, this one on the inside that's created righteous and holy. In Him there is no lust. In Him there is no covetousness. In Him there is no selfish ambition. He is made in the image of God. It says after God is created. That means in His image is created in righteousness and true holiness. My job now, be renewed. Let that spirit renew my mind so that my mind begins to think like a new creature. Now, the new way he's going to give you the example from Joshua. Get the picture. Here comes all of Israel. They've come right up to Jordan. They've been in the wilderness for a generation, 40 years. Can you imagine for 40 years? Nothing will grow. Desert. You know, kicking scorpions away from your feet. You know, if you did find a little patch, it might grow something. You plant some seed. 2 days later, the cloud moves. I mean, for 40 years, you know. And then suddenly you come up to the River Jordan and you look across to the other side. And you send spies over there to see what it's like. And they come back and they give you a report. Oh, look at these grapes. Just to carry one cluster, we had to take two men. We had to take two men. They had to take a pole and hold this cluster of grapes. And you're going, give me some of that. Do you know that's what happens to you every time you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? As a new creature, and you see the blind, the miracles that He did, and opening the blind eyes, and all of the restoration that He did, part of you goes, give me some of that. See, that is the fruit. That is our promised land. That's what we're after. And to walk sin free like He did. Give me some of that. That's what we're craving. That's what we're after. And God has really made a way for us to have it. But picture them looking over into that promised land and then you hear God's voice. I have given you the land. But you notice it's going to be warfare to possess it. Now watch this, watch this. For us, He has already given us the new nature. What is the land to be possessed then? By the renewing of it's the renewing of your mind. If you'll allow me, you have come up to the River Jordan. He has brought us enough light to where we can look over now and see that life, that abundant life, that life demonstrated by the author and finisher of my faith, that life, God says, I have given that to you. How do I possess it? It is by the renewing of the mind. The mind represents the promised land. What I mean by that, it's the land, it's the part of us that has to be possessed by the new nature. That's another way of saying be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We're only going to walk in these things as our mind is renewed to believe it. I think that's called faith. That's called faith. The just shall live by faith, not by sight. See this? My whole life now is becoming very centrally focused on something. I mean, it's a, you know, we have to do what we have to do. You know, I babysit yesterday for a little while, and, you know, I do things for, I make a Walmart run for my mom and dad. And, you know, we all have things we have to do. But what I'm saying is, I don't have time for much else right now. When I do have some time, my life is becoming very focused because at least I know what to do. If we're going to walk in this now, I know what part of me. You know, for years, the devil had me convinced there's something wrong with me. I really thought maybe I wasn't saved. Sometimes when I was preaching to you. You know, he's finally getting it across to me. He says, boy, I didn't make a mistake when I made you. I'm talking about the new birth. Didn't make a mistake. There's nothing wrong with your spirit. There's nothing wrong with you. Your only problem is you've been lied to. Prince, not here. Now, y'all understand. Not only through the deception of the world, everything that comes to you by television, by news, by just living, everything, the whole fallen world is influencing you in a wrong way. But he says you've had a lot of influence from the pulpit. You've been told things that are absolutely the opposite of my word, and you believe them to your toenails. And son, it's going to require real war. If your mind at age 62 now, I'm not using that as a cop-out. My mind can be renewed just like yours. Hey, if I can learn how to operate computers, I can learn what the Bible says about who I really am. I can be renewed now. So I'm getting real focused now. At least, see, when you become accountable. Well, now the choice is up to Gary, isn't it? If I'm going to walk in what he called me to walk in, I know exactly now what has to be done. I know what part of me to focus on. I know what part of me to work on. It's not getting involved in a whole lot of extraneous stuff, although we all have to do things. My job right now is to renew my mind. That's it. I've got to let the new nature retrain my mind. Well, how would a person do that? See, we answered the first how. Here's the first how. How am I going to walk in more of this? By the renewing of your mind. You want a second witness? You don't have to turn there. You all know it's there. Romans 12, verse 2. How do you be not conformed to this world? But be you transformed by the what? By the renewing of your mind. See, it's the renewing of the mind. What I said a while ago, there's nothing wrong with you and nothing wrong with me. What I mean by that, God's work in your spirit is done. He gave you a new nature and there's nothing wrong with it. Yes, sir. He was reminding me today of the difference between our covenant and the old covenant. How many of you know Jesus is the Word? He doesn't have the Word. In the beginning was the Logos. The Logos was with God. The Logos was God. The Logos was, he was made manifest, you know, walked among men. He is the Word. But see, I was looking at and I love the Word. Thank God I'm talking about the written Word, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, especially the New Testament. But I got to thinking about the difference between what we're walking in and what God gave the Old Testament saints. Thinking about David, who wrote all those Psalms. Boy, it's all through there. I have hidden your word in my heart. What's he talking about there? He's talking about the law. See, because at their core, they were darkness. In their mind now, David loved God. There's no doubt he loved God. But did you notice David had a few struggles with the flesh? Well, everybody, you know. But so what could David do to renew his mind? He had God's law. God gave them an external law because he couldn't come through the avenue of the heart. The heart was dark. It wasn't light. So God externally, first he wrote it on a table of stone. God externally had to give them the law. So If you wanted to walk in more of God's ways, what did you do? You did exactly what David said. I have hidden thy word in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. Well, all through there. I mean, boy, you better do that under that covenant. It's all you had. You could, if you looked inside, inside says sin. Inside says lust, because you are darkness. Yes, sir. This is the whole book of Galatians. This is the whole book of Galatians. Yes, sir. Boy, I hope it's there. He knows. Well, turn to Galatians. We're going to go where angels fear to tread here. I was driving to Houston one time, and starting somewhere in Texas, they started having these billboards about every 10 miles. And on each billboard, it would have show all these little children of different ethnicities, they were different races. You know, you had everything on there. You know, you have East Indian, you'd have white, you'd have black, you'd have all of them. You know, all and the caption on them was, "We are all the children of God." And that sounds so right, you know. I mean, you. And then We Are the Children, that song came out. And it sounds so right. Well, alarm bells started going off in my spirit. Because now if you're in Galatians, look at this. Galatians 3:26. For you are all the children of God by virtue of being on planet Earth. Is that what it says? It says, for you are all the children of God. There's only one way, and it is by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now here in Galatians, we're seeing the same teaching that we've done out of Ephesians. Ephesians says it this way. He was writing to the Galatians, primarily to the Gentiles, and he says, now you Gentiles, before you came to Christ, you were without hope and without God in the world. You were strangers to the covenant of promise. And he talked about the hostility between the Jew and the Gentile based on the law. The Jew wasn't even allowed to go underneath the roof of a Gentile. So we had a demonstration again, and I'm not going to go through it right now again, but I had Bernard come up and stand in the center here. And he represented Jesus Christ on the cross. Then we had two men come up and represent the Gentiles over on this side. Over on this side, we had a young lady of Jewish descent to come, representing all those that are descended from Abraham. But see, the Bible says that if Christ died for all, then we're all dead. Thank God when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't die in the place just of Abraham. He died in the place of Adam. And that means the whole human race, no matter what, the whole human species, no matter what race, Gentile or Jew, when Christ died, a gavel come down in heaven and said, Adam is dead. And that means the whole species of Adam, past, present, future, and every race therein. That's why we would say, does it make, if we had two Gentiles over here before that, and one of them was kind of a moral sinner and one was a real immoral sinner, did it make any difference? They were both dead. In Christ, they died. What about the Jew over here? Even though they had the covenants of promise up until Christ came, this very passage here, in fact, back up just a little bit, it tells you, verse 22 of chapter 3, but the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, see, Jew and Gentile, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we, meaning the Jews, were kept under the law. Shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. No, what is that schoolmaster? It's the law. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. In other words, well, for as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now let's go back to our image just for a moment. Here was Bernard dead on the cross representing Jesus. Here's the Gentiles over here When Christ died, as far as God's concerned, the whole human race died. Gentiles on this side, Jews on that side. We had Dave come up and represent the Father on the throne. You remember that? What did Jesus say? I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Ephesians says, out of those two types of humans, Gentile and Jew, through Christ, God has made one new man. He's neither Jew nor Gentile. He is born from the dead species of Adam. So we had Bernard come alive. He's the firstborn from the dead. Jesus is the firstborn. But then as the gospel was preached to the Gentiles and they heard it, they had to come through Jesus to have access to the Father. They had to receive a new nature from the last man, Adam. Their spirit had to be quickened by him. And only then did they have access by one spirit to the Father. Same for the Jew, same for the Gentile. That's why it says here in Galatians, once you've got faith in Christ Jesus, in verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek or Gentile. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, we're talking about the difference between the external law and the internal law. See, we're talking about possessing the land now. Skip over to near the end of the next chapter. Chapter 4, starting in verse 22. See, because it's real easy, because we've not preached the truth about the new nature and that people need to be renewed in the spirit of their minds so that their minds... See, you possess the land, you possess the life of Christ as your mind is renewed by the new nature. Because we've not taught people that, we've put them back under the law as the only way to contain the flesh. And even today in many churches, they'll do their best to put you right back under the law. But look what it says here, starting in verse 21. Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. Boy, now get that phrase, born after the flesh. That represents all the sons of Adam. That represents who you were when you were a child of darkness. But of the free woman was by promise, like Isaac. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which genders unto bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and answers to Jerusalem, which now is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which has a husband. Now get this. This is talking to you now, born again, spirit-filled person. Now you, brethren, you, as Isaac was, you are the children of promise. You're not born of the flesh anymore. That's why Paul, all these things that are stringing together, Paul says, we don't know any man after the flesh anymore. We used to know Jesus after the flesh. We don't even know him after the flesh anymore. What they meant by that, Jews, man, they could trace you back. You are the son of so-and-so, who was the son of so-and-so, who was the son of so-and-so, all the way back to Abraham or King David, just like they did for Jesus. They've got his genealogy there. But see, once you're born again, you are a new species of human that never existed on planet Earth before. Your ancestry only goes back one, and that's to Jesus himself. God has no grandchildren. You have no history. By the way, you have no generational curses. How could you have a generational curse? You only go back one. The only reason you believe that, principalities and powers and rulers of darkness have trained the minds of preachers to preach it to you. That'll get me in trouble. It's the truth anyhow. You're under no generational curse. You're a child of light. Now, I'm not saying you don't have stuff in the flesh and genetics to deal with. I'm telling you the physics of the world you're really from has dominion over genetics. It has dominion over anything in the flesh. It has dominion over anything in you. Walk as a child of light. You're not a child of darkness anymore. How do I do that? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Get your mind renewed to think like what God's telling you through the new nature. You, brethren, you. Point to somebody. You. 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 If you're a believer, you're a child of promise. Time out, time out, time out. Abraham and Sarah were about 100 years old. One old prune next to another old prune. In the natural, there was no way this child could not be born of the flesh. It had to be by promise. God had to quicken their... See any types and shadows here? God, in order for Isaac to be born, God had to quicken their dead bodies by His word alone, based on His promise alone. They just had to believe it, that's all. But because they believed it, new life was born. Glory to God. Peter says in his hearers, that stringing together. Here we go again. Peter says, it is by these exceeding great and precious promises that we may partake of the new nature, of God's nature. But you got to believe the promise. It's believing the promise. It's renewing the mind that causes you to partake. See, you can have a sandwich sitting on the dining table and starve smooth to death. You can sing songs about it. You can have services about it. You can gather congregations about it. You can throw money at it. You can do all of those things. But until you partake of it yourself, you're never going to enjoy the benefits of it. We have gathered together and sung songs about the new nature, thrown money at it, done everything in the world except partake of the new nature. And there's only one way you do it, and that's by the renewing of the mind. It is by these exceeding great and precious promises, and no other way. You can come to the altar and sling snot and cry every service, and you're still going to have to, and I'm not against any of that, except the snot part, but anyway. You still, sometime or another, got to renew the mind. You think I've left King David, but I haven't. We're going back to King David. Now watch this, see? What's the difference here? Verse 28 again of Galatians 4. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, you are a child of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh, type and shadow, born after the flesh, that's all the sons of Adam, no matter what religion they're under. Now, in this case, he's talking about Judaism. Okay? But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit. Which are you? Who are you now? Are you still a child born of the flesh, only forgiven now? You still a child of the flesh, are you? Only trying to do better. You know, I'm trying to repent. What do you mean by that? Well, I'm trying to make my old man do better. Trouble of it is that old man is dead and you don't know it. Why don't you know it? You've been trained by principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, even if it stands in the pulpit, telling you that you're still a child of the flesh. Only difference is you're forgiven now, but don't think you can walk holy. Don't think you can walk in any power, except just by the gifts. I'm all for the gifts of the Spirit. Thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. But the Corinthian church came behind in no gift. Yet Paul said they were so carnal he couldn't even give them meat. God's not calling this church to a gifts revival of people walking like darkness. He's calling us to a higher, deeper walk. To walk as He walked. Talk as He talked. Act as He acted. And have the same results that He had. It is Christ's ministry multiplied since He's been glorified through millions of believers around the world. But now notice this, we're not quite done yet. Verse 29, "But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit." Now, I don't want to go past there too quick, even so it is now. Can you contrast this? Let's expand it beyond Judaism. Every religion of the world, pick one. Hindu, Buddhist, Islam, pick one. When I did that demonstration that time, I had Jesus was in the center, Jew was on the right, Gentiles were on the left. The book was written, that book was written to the Ephesians. We went back in Acts to think, well, what did those Ephesians think like before the gospel came to them? What did they think like? Well, they didn't think they were without God. Their city had the greatest temple. It was one of the wonders of the ancient world. It was a temple to the great goddess, is it Diana? Great goddess Diana. Remember, they stirred up that trouble and for 2 hours they shouted, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians. Great!" And if you'd have talked to them right then, would they have thought they were without God in the world? No. We're under the blessings of this great goddess Diana. And I said to you then, here's Christ in the middle, Gentiles. Now that was Diana. The Jews, they had the law. Take Muslim, take Buddhist, take... Did it make any difference what religion dead men used? They were all just as dead and they had no access to the Father. Didn't make a difference at all. The only ones that had some access was the Jew. They had only, God had only made a covenant with that nation, and by those covenants they had some access. That's why Paul says in Romans, well, there was advantage. You know, they had the covenants, they had the word, they had the prophecies. But see, in Christ, even that system died. All died. There is not two separate covenants. One for the Gentile, one for the Jew. No, if Christ died for all, then we're all dead. Now there is neither Jew nor Gentile. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. See? So what are you now? What are you? Are you born of the flesh? Notice that verse again. He that's born of the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit. Which camp are you in? Who are you? Well, right now at this moment, because I've been listening to you, Gary, I'm going to say I'm born of the Spirit. But when I leave here on Monday, I don't feel like I have any power. I feel like the same old person I've always been. I have the same problems. I don't have all my credit cards paid off. I don't have... In my family, there's some problems. There's this and there's that. And I don't feel like this person you described, but right now, if you ask me, I'm born of the Spirit and I'm a child of God. Well, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in the heavenlies, their whole job is to put enough pressure on Christians, give you enough evidence through the five senses and all your circumstances, where even your mind says, you know, really, I'm just forgiven. I'm just doing my... I'm just trying to make heaven now. You know, I'm just trying to make it to heaven. I'm trying to do the best I can. Well, he's not after you to do the best you can. He's asking us to let him do the best he can. See, he has given us his nature. That new man on the inside. Learning how to let him come to the forefront. And thank God we finally found the key. It took about 6 months, but we found it. We're not waiting on God to do something. The book starts off saying he has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing. If it's every spiritual blessing, what is it you're waiting for him to give you? In other words, he's done his part. What's happened is we've not heard the true gospel. And so we've sat under religion and under the world and under circumstances for our whole lives, and we think like that. We think like forgiven flesh creatures. To steal a phrase from Dave, little flesh creatures. We feel like we're about 99% flesh and 1% spirit. And just the opposite is the truth. You are God's child by faith in Christ Jesus. You have something of God on the inside of you. There is a creature in you. But it's more than that. You are that creature. And getting us to believe that, that is the warfare. Now, going back to King David, I know you thought I forgot King David. I'm really impressed with David and Samuel and Joseph and a lot of them. You could just pick them. Who had a sin nature, could not be born again, yet loved God so much that they gave respect to the only guide they had, which was His law. Now, some of them didn't have the law, but they loved whatever light they had. They did their best to hide it in their heart. I like King David. He says, I have meditated on thy law. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's all that he had to walk by. And everything in his nature was the opposite. Yet for most of his life, he walked with God. Man, I give them credit. But here, God has not given us an external law. See, I did another one I did. It was called Interview with the New Creature. Remember that? One of the questions, it was like Katie Couric sitting down with you on a national platform. You say you're a new creature, do you? Yes. Born of God, are you? Yes. Do you keep, here's one of the questions. Do you keep the law? And the answer was, well, respectfully, I have to tell you, the law of Moses was never given to my species. The law was given to the sons of Adam, the fallen sons of Adam. But I've been born out of that species, and God gave me His nature to walk by, not an external law. See, and that's the big difference between us and King David. Now, I love His Word. Don't think I'm saying it all. I mean, hey, I like meditating and assimilating the Word, all of it, especially the New Testament. But see, the truth of the matter is, you could have got dropped from a helicopter onto some kind of pagan island 2 seconds. 2 seconds after you got born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost. And if you learn to listen to that new nature on the inside of you, you can walk sin free by the power of the new nature alone. How do you know that, Gary? Because Jesus did. He walked free. Now, He never did any miracles. Now, miracles do not proceed from the new nature. Miracles proceed from the Holy Ghost. Jesus said it two ways, by the hand of God, by the Holy Ghost. He also said, it's the Father in me that doeth the works, but always in reference to the Father, not in reference to Himself. See, miracles don't proceed from the new nature. What does proceed from the new nature? Holiness. He walked, even though it says He was tempted in all points like we are, yet He walked sin free. He didn't get baptized by John and receive the Holy Ghost till He was 30 years old. So for 30 years, He walked sin free by the power of the new nature alone. And He is the author and the finisher of our faith. When I think about that's what I just said compared to all I was taught growing up as a child and as a young man in a church, a denominational church. Now, thank God for the truth they did preach. I'm not taking away from that. But people, where God is calling us to walk, the revival He has called us to walk in, we're going to have to possess a whole lot more of our inheritance than what's been possessed for about 2,000 years. We're going to have to drop all of the preconceived ideas and all of the false doctrine we were taught and all of the, even the way you think about yourself. And that, my friends, is what the warfare is. You know what the ites are in the land? It's not just the appetites of the flesh. You know, I'm talking about the ites, the Canaanites, the Hittites. What is that a type of? Well, it's, sure, adultery, fornication. You can go to the works of the flesh in Galatians 5 and adultery, fornication and all that. But it also goes down to deeper things. My flesh doesn't envy, my physical flesh. It don't envy. Envy somewhere in my mind. There's an ite in the land. There's a lot of ites in the land. Selfish ambition. There's a big one. They got a big camp, usually. How about, well, anyway. Lots of ites in the land. But the particular ites that we're talking about today are not even those things. These are more like false doctrine ites. Well, I know who I am. Usually that's followed by a whole lot of junk. Well, I know me. Yeah, we're about to hear all the junk that's opposite to the Bible. We're about to hear everything that you've been programmed with to keep you powerless. And I'm not saying you're not like that. I'm saying the Bible doesn't say you're like that. I know what you're telling me. According to all the evidence that you live by, and if I followed you around, I'd go, yep, you're that way. But see, there is no power to change anything by calling what is as though it is, because it already is. God's method is to change those things that are by calling those things that be not as though they were until they are.
Amen.
So it starts with a renewing of the mind. Now, confession, yes, sir, is a good place to start. Do you see what I'm saying about David? David only had an external law that he had to take that and put it in his heart. God has given you an internal law. He's given you a new nature. But that new nature alone, unless the mind is renewed to agree with that new nature, you're not going to put off the old man. And especially you're not going to... Now you might do better. I think most people do better at putting off the old man, maybe. Walking better is what I'm talking about. Than they do putting on the new man. Because the new man, I don't know of any limits on the new man. The old man. Human beings cannot walk on water. Sounds perfectly logical. Till you talk to Peter. Peter says, I beg to differ. I didn't walk on it very long. But I walked on it. And there's a physics. The world that we're really from, the realm of light. Those physics. See, the law... The realm of the spirit produced this realm of the material. Everything that we call material seems to us that's absolute reality right there. No, it's not. The realm of the spirit produced that. By definition, the creator is greater than the createe. The realm of the spirit is more real than anything you can tangibly touch. That means that the laws of that kingdom will override the laws of this kingdom. That's why there are no limits. But boy, the mind, you think our mind doesn't have to be renewed to that? It has to be renewed. Okay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, sir. Go to Ephesians somewhere. I'll find it in a minute. Okay. Yeah, Ephesians 5:14. We're going to finish with this. Confession is only part one, we're going to have to change what we say, people. I would recommend that you take the. I'm not going to do it for you this time. I'm really not. And in the past, I've done that. I've made confessions for you and passed them out. If I have to do that for you this time, you're not going to walk in it anyway. You're not hungry enough. You go to the book yourself. Go to Ephesians yourself. Whatever it says about you, write it down. Like it's already right now true. Start saying that at least. Even if you can't walk in it, say it. I am light. Oh, I am light. Oh, I am light. Can you imagine Abraham looking in a mirror? 100 years old. Can you imagine that scene? Don't imagine it too much. I am the father of a multitude. Oh. He had to do exactly the same thing. In the face of all contradictory circumstances. Ephesians 5:14. Wherefore he saith, this is to the whole church, this is to us especially now, but to the whole church, awake thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. As that happens then, see then that you walk. See, first you have to have the light, but once you have the light, see then that you walk in it. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now, verse 17. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, let's stop right there for today. Do you understand yet what the will of the Lord is? That your mind be renewed to the spirit that He's given you? The will of the Lord is that His church walk free from sin. The will of the Lord is that His church walk in power. The will of the Lord is that His church demonstrate Christ has been risen from the dead. It is His will. It is the will of the Lord that we walk as children of the light. How do I begin doing that? You ask the Lord. Though I'm not going to give you a plan. You ask the Lord. Lord, what am I going to have to do to renew my mind to agree with the nature You've given me? What is the plan? Making confessions? I bet you'll be part of it, maybe. I don't know what He's going to tell you to do. But whatever it is, I'm warning you ahead of time, it is going to be war. It's not going to be easy. But the whole world is waiting for us to possess the land. Amen?